We are on Daf Ayin Gimel 73. We just introduced, really, although we talked about it a little bit already, we just introduced an interesting distinction, or an interesting machlokas, about how do we determine a person's residency, right? So we always talk about, where does a person live? Are they in a chatzer with other people? Are they in a mamma with other people? But what determines where they are? So there's a machlokas here, right at the bottom, right at the end of Ayin Beis, Amud Beis. We said my makom dira. What's the place of a person's living? So Rav Amar makom pita. Rav says it's the place where the person actually eats. Pita meaning like bread. That's hence the name of the food. Ushmul Amar Makom Lina. And Shmuel says the place where a person sleeps. So it's very interesting. We have this machlokas and other things also, in terms of like where you light Shabbos candles, where you light Hanukkah candles. So there's also that ongoing machlokas too. So the Gemara tells us, Mesave, bringing from a Braisa, which presumably goes against what Rav is saying. Haroim v'hakayatzin v'aborganin v'shomer peros b'zman shadar kanalin b'ir harei hin kanchi ha'ir. When they have a place to sleep in the city, so then they're considered like they're part of the city. B'zman shadar kanalin b'asadeh. When they go and they sleep in the field, so yeshlem apayim l'chol ruach, so then the residents are determined based on where they sleep in the field, and they get 2,000 amos to each direction. Right, we're talking about general like shepherds and watchmen of the produce and things like that. So it sounds from here, according to this braisa, that you always base it on where they're sleeping. So if that's the case, that seems to be an explicit rejection of Rav. Rav says it's based on where you eat, not where you sleep. So the Gemara says, no, a very interesting concept. Hasam anan sade. Over there, in that case, we determine that the imam to lehu rifta hasam tfei nichalehu. While it's true, the words of the Braisa say that it's where they're sleeping that determines where their residency is, we judge based on that it would be better for them. They would want to eat there too. Meaning it's not the case that the Braisa means to say, even if they're eating somewhere, we're always going to base it instead on where they're sleeping. But rather that once we know where they're sleeping, we know that they prefer to eat there, which is an interesting concept. It's going to come up again later in the daf. But basically, Rav says, don't bring me that statement, because the whole point is that that's where they want to be. And that's where they want to eat also. Not just that that's where they happen to sleep, but that's where they're choosing to dwell. Okay. I'm Rav Yosef, lo shmi elei haishmaisa. Rav Yosef said, I don't remember this. And this happened a few dapim ago, where Rav Yosef came in and said, I don't remember this happening. And his students come along and say, no, you taught us this. We remember, right? Rashi tells us, reminds us again, that Rav Yosef had forgotten his learning in his elder age. And his students would remind him. So he says again, I didn't learn this. Shita of Rav that is based on where you eat. So Amar Le'Abai, after Amar Le'Elan, no, you told us this. Aha, Amar Le'Elan, and then you told us. If there are brothers, sons of a father that they both eat by their father, and then they sleep in their own homes in the same courtyard, so then each of them needs an Erev, because it's based on where they sleep. The Amrinan Lach, and then we said, Shma Amina Makom Lina Gorim. So therefore we determined that it must be that your sleep is what determines where your residency is. And the Amart and Lun Allah, and then you came to defend Rav Shita that it's all about food. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Mekable Pras Shanu. That's not in a case where they actually ate by their father, it's rather in a case where they got food by their father, from their father. And therefore, it's not necessarily the case that this is a rejection of Rav, because maybe they also ate at home. It's just that they got food from their father also. So the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Mi sheyesh lo chamish nashim mekabel pras mibaalein, chamish avadim mekabel pras mirabehen. Wives who got food from their husbands, or slaves that got food from their masters. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira matar ben Ashim v'osar ba'avadim. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira would say that the women don't have to make an eruv because they got food from their husbands, and that's enough to connect them. But when it comes to a servant, so that's not enough to connect them, and the servant would still be oser them. That would be, they would be considered to be separate residents in that courtyard, and they would have to make an eruv to make it okay for anyone to walk in it. Right. So the food from a husband creates that shared eruv, natural shared property. But food from a master doesn't. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava matir b'avadim, but also b'nashim. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava does the opposite. He says that it's good for a master, and it's not good for a, it's not good enough for a wife. Right, because each woman, as Svaria translates, as each woman is significant in her own right and is not totally dependent on her husband. Interesting phrasing there, but. Amarav, Rav comes in and says, "My time at Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. Why is it, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, that the masters are going to be considered, the servants are going to be considered to be joined together with their masters, even though Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira said otherwise?" So he says, "Dechsev Daniel Bisra Malka." The pasuk in Daniel says that he was the servant of the king, and he was effectively always at the king's gate. Meaning, whatever he did, he was always considered to be with the king. He was always considered living with the king. Right, Rashi says, "V'chol makom shu chashiv le, v'chol makom shehu chashiv le bisra malka." Everywhere Daniel went, he always was considered to be with the king. Doesn't matter if he was literally there or not. Okay, so pshita ben etzel aviv k'd'amra. Okay, we understand a son by the father, as we said. Presumably, if he eats with his father, so that would be good for an eruv. Ish etzal baal of eved etzal rabba plugs to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira of Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. And we just went through the machlokas about a servant and a wife. But what about a talmid etzal rabba? What about a student not near his student staying by his rebbe? So if they're at the same courtyard, presumably. And they get a portion from their Rebbe, meaning the Rebbe is giving them, Siraj, this is Makabal Prasimenumai, right? So that they're also being sustained in some way from their Rebbe. So Tashima, Derav Bei Rebbe Chia, Amar, Ein Anu Tzrich L'Ar, we don't have to make an Erev, Sha'arei Anu Somchen Al Shulchan Shal Rebbe Chia. That we're dependent on the table of Rebbe Chia, and therefore we don't have to make an Erev, even though they're not living together, presumably. Rabbi Chia bar Bei Rabbi Amar, Enon Tzrich L'Arav Shari Anon Tzom Chashol Chanosh L'Rabbi. And they similarly said that because we're sustained by our Rabbi, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, we don't have to make an Erev either. That's good enough. So, Bayi Minei Abayi Merabba, Chamish Shigavos, Erev Anak Shmuluch Nas Erev L'Makam Ach, Erev Ach L'Kulon Tzrich L'Erev L'Kul Ach L'Vech. This is Machlokes we said yesterday, that if five people had created an Erev together, and when they, if they bring it over, if they were to bring it over to a different place, they would need to make, do they have to make one Erev for all of them? Or does each of them have to contribute to a separate Erev? This is the case, I don't know if I explained it well enough yesterday, maybe because I didn't explain it, I didn't understand it well enough yesterday. This is only according to Beis Shammai. We do not paskin like this. And that's why it is not something we're familiar with. But the Bachlokes is according to Beis Shammai, each and every person inside of one courtyard would have to contribute to an Erev if they're going to then place that Erev in somebody else's courtyard, right? So if you're going to connect one Chatzer to another Chatzer, each and every person has to contribute to it in order for it to be a legitimate sort of combination. We paskin against this, that we paskin that if you're in one chatzer, one person could be mezake the whole chatzer to then go bring an eruv to a different chatzer to combine with another one. You don't need everybody to contribute. But here it's saying, so what about, what's the case? There's Amalei, Rabba responds to Abaye and says, Erev Echle Kulan, paskin like Rabbi Beis Hillel, that we're paskin within the understanding of Beis Hillel, that that one eruv is good for all of them. So Gemara says, wait a second, but what about brothers? Dechi gavu damu, it's as if they're also taking up an Erev. It says in that case that they each need to contribute to the Erev, even though they've gotten a portion from their father. So the Gemara says, no, hachamai skinan, kegon ika dior b'adayu. This is a very interesting concept. I'm not really 100% sure how it works with the sort of the logical mechanism is. I mean, the Gemara is going to say it, but it doesn't completely make sense to me yet. Kegon ika dior b'adayu, it says, if there are other people living in the courtyard. Not as if. That's a situation where there are other people. It's not just the father and the two sons that are living in the courtyard. And therefore, says the Gemara, Demigo dahani asri, hani nami asri. Now that there are other people that are going to be oser, that are going to be important and independent residents of this courtyard, which would then therefore require an eruv to be made from each and every person, hani nami asri. So too, the brothers are also going to make it usher. I don't 100% understand. I think what, I don't know. My impression is they're definitely going to be usher, the other people that they're not related to, but why wouldn't it work for their father? I really don't understand it. Rashi says, Hanayim usher isha alachim aval shtei chatzeros v'pesach b'nein v'gavu eilu erivin la'atzman v'ultru l'chatzerim v'eilu la'atzman v'ultru l'chatzerim o shadarin v'achas men avu banav v'loz yorin acherim v'bo la'ariv zu imzu ho v'ein osar leim v'leikim igu d'achal ne'asal shtech l'kulan. You can make a shliach if it's only the three of them. Dekanam t'han t'mishim igu d'ketani o she'eni ma'in v'chule ha'yeshi ma'in t'ikim igu t'richlin t'amad reishim shun t'yorim hu. I don't know. That seems to be just the explanation of how the words are made are structured, but I don't get the logic so much. So Hachanami Mustarba, this also makes sense based on the wording of the Braisa de Katani Emasib is Mashmalch Natsir Makamacher. About Irin by Islam, if the Arab is where they are and there's nobody else, Osha ain't your Iman Bachatzer and there's nobody else in there, or there's nobody else in their courtyard, ain't Srichan Arab Shmamina. They do not have to make another Arab. That seems to be how we understand it. Okay, new question. Bal minei Rav Chia bar Avin mirav sheshes b'nei bei Rav to achlin alba baga. They used to, the students of bei. It says here bei Rav. I guess it's not necessarily a person named Rav, but Safari here translates it as just the master's house. Rashi says Beis HaMedrash. Okay, I don't know. They would eat in the field, but then they would come and sleep in the Beis HaMedrash. That's what it sounds like from Rashi. Although Safari translates it differently, that they would sleep in their master's house. Okay, I mean, I guess both make sense, but it's not talking about Rav specifically. When we make a tchum for them, so we just talk about an eruv. Is it based on food or is it based on sleep? Here we're asking, what about a tchum? Is the tchum based on food or is it based on sleep? So, amrle mashkinu mi beirav. We base it where they're sleeping. But wait a second, isn't there a verse that say that we count it from their Erev, which is where they ate? So why is it that we're counting from where they sleep, from the Bei Rav? So the Gemara says, no, Bahu Anan Sade, Bahu Anan Sade, Bahu Anan Sade, Timit Dar Le, Hasam Nichale, Uvahada Anan Sade, Timai Sulirif to the Bei Rav, Nichalutfe. It depends on the situation. Each of those situations is basically a case where we would look at it and say, well, they would prefer to eat over here also, or they would prefer to sleep over here also. And in that type of situation, we would determine the tchum based on that. Okay, unclear how you make this determination, but I guess situationally you could figure it out. Okay, but it would sound based on that. That it's based on where they're sleeping. I can imagine you understand it the other way also, but it seems like both of them could be important to determine sleeping or the eating, and we're just basically trying to figure out what is their preferred place of both eating and sleeping. Okay, so it's not necessarily the case that one is always going to outweigh the other, but it is the case that we're going to look at it as one could outweigh the other in a theoretical. Okay. So, Bai Rami Barchama Mirav Chista. Avu Beno, Haravatamido, Karabim Damo, Okiachidim Damo. So a father and a son, a student and his teacher, or are they considered like multiple people, or are they considered like one individual unit? So what's the situation? Do you need to make an Erev? Do you need to make a Lachi and a Korah? And if you're in a Mavoi? Right, so are they considered one house or two houses? So similar question. So Armalei Tani Tua, we learn this. Abu Bnei Harabatam, Minubas Manshein, Madrione Harein, Kichidim, Vein Tzirich Na'arev, Vemav Vishalei Nitzar B'Lach V'Kore. And the courtyard is okay if there are no other people there. Meaning a little similar to the situation with the father and the sons, or it is a similar situation, father and sons, that we said before, that if there are other people living there, so then it's going to be a problem and you need to make an Erev. But if there's nobody else living there, so then it's not going to require an Erev. They're going to be considered one unit. They're going to be connected to each other. And a Mavoi can be simply merged with a Lachi and Korah. You don't need to make any Shituf. Okay. Hold on. Okay. Mishnah. New Mishnah. Chamesh chatzeros psuchos lezu. You can see the picture in Rashi that you've got five courtyards. The number five is not really so important here, but I don't think. You've got five courtyards which are open to each other, meaning there's passageway to get to each of the courtyards. Hopefully Rashi's picture is good enough for you. Imagine there are houses in each of one of those chatzers. Just make it two houses to make it easy for yourself to imagine. So if you've got five courtyards, they're all open to each other in the middle. And at their ends, they all open into the pathway of the alley, right? The Mavoi. So, yeah, I've got a nice digitized picture. So hopefully you guys have also one. Either way, so you've got five courtyards all open to each other, in the horizontal plane, and then you have them open to each other at the end of the vertical plane. So not open to each other, open into the mavoi. So the question is, irvu b'chatzeros v'lonoshtat v'mavoi, if they made an eruv between the chatzers, right, to connect all the chatzers, to make it basically one big chatzer, but they didn't make anything to connect themselves in the mavoi. So mutarim b'chatzeros v'asurim b'mavoi. So then that's not good enough for the mavoi. You can't walk and carry in the mavoi. You can't carry in the mavoi. Ibn Ishtatva over the page. Ibn Ishtatva mavoi mutarim kan v'kan. And if you make a shituf in the mavoi, so then you're good for both, right? If you make a shituf in the larger one, so then you can use it for the smaller ones also, right? That's the general rule. Irvu b'chatzeros v'nishtatva v'mavoi v'shachach echem v'chatzav lo irev. If they made an Eruv in the Chatzeros, and they made a Shituf in the Mavoi, and then somebody in the Chatzer, somebody in the courtyards forgot to make an Eruv, Mutarin Kan V'Kan, again, because you made the Shituf Mavuos, which carries over, which also includes the Chatzer. However, Mibnei Mavoi, if someone from the Mavoi V'lo Nishtatev wasn't part of the Shituf of the Mavoi, so Mutarin B'Chatzeros V'Shem Mavoi, so he's okay to carry inside of the Chatzers, but he's not allowed to carry inside of the Mavoi. Because the mavoi to the chatzer is like a chatzer to the houses. We consider it as if the chatzer is like one big house, or the chatzers that are connected that made an eruv with each other. So those are considered one house, and then the mavoi is considered like their chatzer. All right, it's very interesting, just sort of like, you know, the micro and the macro, but it's the same situation. So they're not allowed to walk into the mavoi unless they did an actual shituf. Okay, Gemara, money. Who's this going according to? Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir, Damer Batin, and Erev, Batin, and Shituf. This seems to be according to Rabbi Meir, who requires you to have both an Erev and a Shituf. At least the beginning of the Mishnah says that. So Gemara says, wait a second, Ema Mitziyasa, what about the middle situation of the Mishnah? The Imanishtats with Mavoi, Mutar, and Kan V'Kan. It says if you made a Mavoi, a Shituf in the Mavoi, so then you're good for the Mavoi and the Erev without making an Erev in the Chatzer. So the Gemara says, oh no, Asler Rabbanan to Army B'chadat Sagya. It seems like we're going according to the Rabbanan there. So the Gemara says, no, holo kasha, it's not true. It's not going according to Rabbanan. The Gemara really means, the Mishnah really means to say, v'im nishtatu nami kamar, meaning it's building off the first case of the Mishnah. The first case of the Mishnah was if you made a Erev Chatzeros, but not a Mavoi, not a Shituf. And then the second case of the Gemara is where you also made a Shituf, not just if you made only a Shituf. So the Gemara says, and therefore it's still according to Rabbi Meir, who requires you to make both. So the Gemara says, wait a second, I'm going to aim a what about the end of the Mishnah? You did both. So they forgot to make an Erev in the Chatzer, so then it's okay in both. So wait a second, how's that going to be? How's it going to be okay in both the Chatzer and the Mavoi if he forgot about the Chatzer? If he didn't make a Bittul and he didn't nullify his property to the rest of the Chatzeros, so the Amayim Mutarim. Al Pshita, the Bittul must be in the case where he did make a Bittul, according to Rabbi Meir, and therefore that's what allows him to carry inside of the chatzer, because again, he wasn't part of the Erev. But Ema Seifa, what about the end? So if he forgot to make a shita for the mavoi, but he did, but seemingly he's okay in the chatzer, so if it's really the case, the reason that he's okay to carry in the chatzer, the reason he's okay to carry in the courtyard, even though he forgot about the shituf, is because he was mevatel his rishus, so amai asur mevavoy. So if it was really mevatel his rishus, so then why would he be okay to carry, why would he be prohibited from carrying the mevoy? He's considered to be batel to the rest of the people who did make the shituf. So the Gemara says, "V'chi tameh because of Rabbi Meir in betul rishus b'mavoi." Maybe you're going to tell me that you can't be mevatel rishus by a mavoi. You can only be mevatel rishus in a chatzer, if that's the, which is how we always talk about betul. So if that's the case, what about this brace of hatana shari betul lachem rishuto divrei Rabbi Meir? Rabbi Meir says explicitly that you're able to do so. I don't know what the context of that statement is, but it's clear that Rashi says it's by the tziduki. I don't remember it. But apparently that was Rabbi Meir when he talked about the Siduki case. So El Pshita Lo Batil, rather it must be a case where he didn't make Bittul. Umi de Seif de Lo Batil, Reishanami de Lo Batil. If the end of the Mishnah is a case where he didn't do Bittul, and he didn't nullify his property rights to the rest of the people, and therefore he can't go in the Mavoi. So Reisha V'Seifa, Rabbi Meir, Mitzias Rabbanan. It must be that the first case and the last case are, according to Rabbi Meir, where you would require both an Erev and a Shituf separately. But the middle case is a situation where we're passing like the Rabbanan, that that if you forget to make an Erev, or if you only make a Shituf, so then you'd be covered by the Shituf. So Gemara says, no, Kula Rabbi Meir hi. It's really able, you're really able to say it's all according to Rabbi Meir, who requires you to both make a Erev and a Mavoi, and a Shituf in the Mavoi. V'tamamai, we don't pass like this, but tamamai. Amar Rabbi Meir, but in an Erev of an Yishuv, why would he say you need both? Shaloli l'shakeach toras Erev min atinokos. The reason you need both is so that no one forgets about either one of them. Presumably the Erev here, meaning that if you make the Shituf, so then you would still need to make an Erev. Why? So that people don't forget about it. So people remember that they need to make an Erev. V'hacha, in this case, Kevin Druba Irvu, because most of the people in the Chateros did make an Erev, as opposed to the situation, as opposed to this one guy, the Mishnah talks about, the one guy forgot to make an Erev. So in that case, everybody else did it. So lo mishtakha, people aren't going to forget just because this one guy forgot. And therefore, in the middle case, Rabbi Meir is not so makbid on making sure that there's an Erev, as well as the shita that was already created. So Amar Rav Yehuda, although that wouldn't explain the middle case of the Mishnah. Right, the second case of the Mishnah was when they only made a shita and nobody made an Erev. I thought. Wasn't that the case of the Mishnah? It must be that we're still working within the Ukimta, that it's Nishtatfu Nami, that he said that they also made a Shituf there. Okay, I guess that would work. Amar Rav Yehuda, Rav lo tani psucho zulazu. Rav does not include the statement of our Mishnah, psucho zulazu, meaning cut off, make sure that the chatzers are solid lines the picture in Rashi, that the chatzers are not connected to each other. So why? And Rav says it can't be. V'chein amar Rav Kana, Rav lo tani psuchu zuluzu, ikad amri Rav Kana gufei lo tani psuchu zuluzu. Somebody doesn't say that they're open, somebody says that they're not open to each other. So amar le Rabbi, Rav Yossi, my tamid lo tani psuchu zuluzu, why is it that there must not be that line? What's so problematic if the chatzers are connected to each other? Kasav kol shitov she'en machnisu mansiyo derech psach mavoi lav shmei shitov. Any case where you don't necessarily have to use the opening from the mavoi to the chatzer, you can't make a real shituf. right? If you could take your all your belongings, you can carry only within the chatzer. Let's say you walked into one person's chatzer, and then you walk through the middle one, and you don't walk through the entrance of the mavel, right? You take a little shortcut, so then you can't have a shittuf because you're not really using your entrance, which connects you to the rest of the chatzeros, to the rest of the courtyards, right? You have to use that entrance from the mavoi to your chatzer. And therefore, Rav would say that it can't be a case. It can't be a case where you have openings between the chatzeros, because then it's not necessarily going to require you to walk into the mavoi from your personal chatzer, and therefore you can't connect that, you can't be a partner with the other courtyards in that mavoi, in that alleyway, unless you actually use that entrance into your section of the mavoi. So Esavei, but wait a second. We have a situation, we have a braisa that says, Steve, are you trying to say something?
Yeah, I just was wondering. So what we're saying is if you don't use it, you lose it. It's in general, when you make a larger error, you're not going to every section.
No. This is talking specifically in terms of a mavoi. We're going to get more specific about a mavoi, and it is saying a little bit that if you don't use it, you lose it, in the fact that you have to create some kind of ownership, you have to create some kind of jurisdiction over your connection to the mavoi. And if you don't have any real use of that, right, it's as if the opening is closed off. If you're never going to use it as an opening, so then you can't combined with other people through that opening. That opening is what connects you to the mavoi. And if you're not connecting yourself to the mavoi, so then you can't be a partner in the mavoi. That's basically how it's talking. And therefore,
even though it's open, it's connecting it to right. open it for anyone
this,
else.
Right, this is only according to Rav, that the fact that it's connected to another chatzer means that you're not going to use the mavoi properly. That's how it's understood. So Esavei, well, wait a second. Baal Bayis Shai Shutav L'Shchein of L'Zebiayin L'Zebiayin. In the case where a person makes a shituf with each of his neighbors in other courtyards, Ein Tzrich L'Arv, you don't have to make an Eruv because they are already connected through the wine. So how would that be the case if that's seemingly a case of two chatzers that are connected to each other, and it's saying that they made a sheet that they don't have to make an eruv in that case because they jointly own something together, but they don't actually go to each other. It's just that they own something together. So the Gemara says no hasan da afkiva aile. You know, Kimta there is, no, that's the case where they would actually bring the wine out into the mavoi, and then they brought it back in, meaning they would make sure to use the opening, which is a crazy Kimta to say here, but you don't say it there. But the Esavei, another situation, doesn't matter how we go into it or not. Same situation, same answer, that yeah, they literally walked through the entrances to make that shituf. So maskef la rabba bar chanan el meyata hikna lapas basal hachanami to lahavi shituf. In that case where they have bread in a basket, they just say, okay, this is going to be our Erev, no one's moving anywhere. But so how is that, how is that good enough for a shituf? How is that good enough for an Erev? So the Gemara says, v'chitim hachanan v'hamar rabbi hudamar rab, b'nei chabur shayim asubim kiddish tadayim hayom. We learned this way back when. Where was this? This was all the way back on. No, I must be misremembering. We had a similar case like this earlier in the Masechta. Either way, that they had a bunch of people who were eating together, and then Shabbos started. So then the food that's on their table, somchin aleh mishum erev. They can assume that that's their erev. And some people say that was also for the shituf. So if that was for the shituf, they didn't do anything. They didn't go anywhere. So how could you say that's for the shituf? You have to actually use the entrances, as we said before. And Rabbi had said that the two uses, either in Erev or a shituf, it's just based on where they were eating, were they eating in the chatzer, or were they eating in the house. But the point is that they could all use that Erev or that shituf to go out into the larger area outside of where they were eating. So Gemara says, Elatam de Rav, because I have the reason for Rav who says, so we're throwing it up. We're saying, like, Steve, yeah, you're right. The fact that that entrance is there is good enough. We don't literally need them to walk through it in order for it to be a real shittuf, a real partnership inside of the alleyway. Rather, the reason that Rav doesn't have this statement, where that it doesn't like having the psuchozulazu, the fact that the chaseres are connected to each other. You need to have multiple houses and multiple courtyards opened up into the mavoi, and in this case, the courtyards are all considered connected to each other, because all the courtyards have that opening, and therefore it's one big courtyard. I think that's what it's saying. Let me just read it. Rashi doesn't say anything. So here in the Sefari it says, if however the courtyards open into one another, considered like one single courtyard, in which case they cannot be rendered primitive for carrying side in the mavoi with a lechi and koreb, because they're not multiple chatzers. You have to have multiple courtyards to be considered a real mavoi, and therefore it's going to be excluded in this case because they're opened into each other. Now, we're going to continue talking about this tomorrow. You might have questions on that concept and what would be the problem with it. So we're going to talk about it a little more tomorrow with this next part of the Gemara Kufa. Okay, Shkayach, everyone.